Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to the Whispering Woods podcast. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Toby.
And this is episode number 20. This episode is all about
terror in the woods.
Yes, it is. I've got 5 true scary stories today to share. There's no introduction, as we don't really need one. It's just about the stories. But before that, I want to give a little bit of information that was provided to me. On our Skinwalker episode, we were contacted by an ordained reverend in a humble shamanic tradition who gave us the information that it's incorrect to describe those entities as skinwalkers. They are, in fact, shapeshifters. He goes on to say that basically it's been misinterpreted and skinwalkers were in fact hunters. So just so I get this right, I'm going to actually read from his comments. So first, a skinwalker was a brave hunter who donned the pelts of buffalo, elk and such. He then went among the herd, mimicking perfectly their behaviour. At the right moment, he would cast off his pelt, startling the herd in the direction of those who waited to harvest them. The best of these were said to become the animals they hunted. A shapeshifter, now called a skinwalker, was a practitioner of black magic who hated other people and indeed creation. Slowly over time, and with much darkness applied, he became nothing but darkness. These creatures, practicing their brujería, can become anything. Brujería being dark magic. They can stand by a tree and become part of it. Might be stones in the road, might not. Might be a hitchhiker, maybe not. They feed on fear and love it. Since there was light, there has always been darkness. Since there have been shaman, there have been the black mirror of him, the witch. He's given us some other information that I'll share over the next few shows, including his own encounter with La Llorona. And information about this belief system, because I think it's so interesting. And we really, really appreciate his knowledge from a new friend of the show. So we hope you enjoy this over the next couple of weeks. He's also been trying to teach me Mexican Spanish, and I'm doing okay, considering. He may say different, but yeah, I just want to say a big thank you. You are fabulous. Also, I didn't share this information last week, so it probably sounded a bit blunt, actually, because I wanted to check with him, first of all, that it was all right to share his words before putting them on the podcast. Right. Are you ready for the first story?
Yes, I am.
I'm 14, and this happened to my friends and I about 3 or 4 years ago. It was my friend, who I'll call Anna's, birthday. So she had invited me and our other friend, who I'll call Sandy, to go out to our school's park and hang out. Now you should know that our whole school is on top of huge sewer pipes and surrounded by woods. We were goofing off at the edge of the woods when we found a trail we'd never seen before. And being the troublemakers we were, and still are, we decided to go see where it led to. Sandy led the way, being as she was the most reckless of the three. Anna and I took it slower, on the other hand, because we didn't know what we would find, where it would lead to, or what would happen. After what was about 5 minutes of walking, the path came to a small bend. We went around to see a small stream, which had about a foot above it, one of the old pipe openings. It was open, tall and wide enough where we could fully stand up in it. I remember things the older kids would tell Anna and I on the bus about these pipes. The one that scared me the most was about the pipe man. The pipe man was said to live in the pipe, and any time he got hungry, he would go and kidnap little girls, assault them, kill them, and eat them. Then he would bring what was left of them to some of the train tracks running through town. So of course, me being the scared little thing I was at that age, I got really uneasy. Sandy and Anna though, they wanted to see what was down there, in the pipeline, and kept trying to convince me, until they eventually did. We went maybe 3 or 4 feet in, but it got too dark and we couldn't see. The smell, it smelt so bad in there that we were gagging and had to get out. Naturally, being Anna's birthday, Sandy and I were sleeping over her house. At this time, we were all curious about what was in the pipe. So as we left the front of the trail, Anna took off her hat and put it in front of the trail. We had planned on coming back in the morning, prepared this time. Her mum agreed to letting us go back. Another fact about these woods is, they wrap around and lead to the old state school cemetery. So that made everything creepier, knowing that there could be more bodies hidden in the pipe, that there was no room to bury. The next morning, when we go to the park and went to find where Anna had left her hat, it was gone. So we put it off for some jerky-ass kids taking it. We still found the trail, of course, and couldn't hold our excitement or fear as we approached the bend. Putting on face masks so we couldn't smell the horrible smell, turning on our flashlights, we entered. We walked pretty far down the pipe before things got weird. We could no longer see where we came in, and we were finding what we assumed to be animal bones. Although Anna and I also kept the thought of the pipe man. Sandy, of course, the leader, walked about 15 more feet ahead before stopping and screaming. Anna and I, of course, have never heard her scream like that before and ran up to her. We looked at what she was pointing at and couldn't believe our eyes. It was Anna's hat. Her hat was way down in the pipeline, covered in red liquid. We ran out of there faster than we've ever moved before, leaving her hat behind. We made it out of the pipe panting and gasping for breath. Never have I ever been so scared. But the story doesn't end there. Before we even started backing up the trail, we heard a branch snap behind us. I was the one to turn around to see a tall man who was very dirty looking and had very messy hair. We ran again all the way up the trail. As far as we knew, our worst fear had come true. The pipe man was real. We could have been his next meal, but we were lucky enough to make it out alive, except for some scratches here and there from running into branches. Sandy, Anna, and I have never told anyone about this, and we will all probably deny it if asked about it. The park has since been torn down, but the trail remains. None of us will go down there, ever again. So, Pipe Man. That's the kind of thing you'd do, wouldn't you? Go and investigate, see if you can find it, the monster in the pipe.
Yeah.
Me too. More so at your age. I would have loved it. Yeah. We are going to have to look and see if there are any really sort of local folk stories. I'm saying that because we've lived here about 12 years. I don't know if, you know, around where I'm from, I know the folklore, you know, the local stuff, the stuff that we used to do, the stuff that was haunted. I really don't know an awful lot about this village. So I think we should try and investigate and see if there's anything going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do know, well, I was told by an historian that, you know, the, what's it called, the roundhouse up there, the observatory. Yeah, the observatory. I heard by a local historian when I was still on the bus stop and we were having a chat that apparently Aleister Crowley stayed in the observatory at some point. Now, you probably don't know who Aleister Crowley is, but he was an occultist, and some of his stuff was really quite dark, messing with magic. So we will do an episode on him because it's really interesting and some freaky stuff really went on. But the observatory, can I just tell you this as well? When you were little, we were doing a ghost hunt just around the area.
Yeah.
And I didn't realise that the observatory was a private house, right? So I made your dad drive in there.
Yeah.
Through the big gates. And there's a balcony that overlooks the land.
Yep.
And someone came out onto the balcony and was watching us. And it was really embarrassing. As we just went round their big roundabout and then headed back through the gates with me giggling. And Maisie, she must have been, I don't know, about 11, 12, in the back, completely embarrassed. Okay. Are you ready for the second story?
Yes, I am.
Let's start this with a little backstory. I live in a really small town in Finland. Roughly 300 people live in our town. Mostly workers of a nearby factory and elderly people. In summertime, our town is busy from tourists and other travellers. But this story happened in wintertime. And in winter, our town is a total ghost town. I work in our town's pub as a bartender. And despite the quiet winters, we keep the pub open for people to have a place to spend time and not to get lonely. It was a normal Friday, quiet and cold. I had a couple of local customers playing some tunes on the jukebox and getting hammered, while I was keeping the fire burning in the fireplace. Winter had just started, and we were discussing when it would start to get really snowy. The night went well. And not so surprisingly, about an hour before closing, it started to snow heavily. I closed the pub normally, and after, I got the place cleaned up and started on some paperwork. Our pub closes at 2 a.m, and it was around 3 o'clock then, and I heard some really loud banging coming from our pub staff door. It's like someone had a death or life emergency banging. And I went beast mode right away. I didn't know what or who it was. I went closer to the door when I heard a man's voice. "Please help me. Open the door. Is there someone?" And I remember that I did some fast thinking of who it could be. It could be a trick to get me to open the door so someone could rob our pub, since we live far away from anything. But still, it could be someone in real danger, like being chased by a bear or wild boar. I decided to take my trusty baseball bat that I keep behind the bar counter all the time and went to open the door. The man literally rushed through me inside to the bar, and the first thing that I do is close the door behind him. I don't want anyone else to come in. I recognised the man as one of the locals. He never comes to our bar, but I know that he has a really bad alcohol problem. I notice that he doesn't have shoes, gloves or a hat, just normal clothing that you wear at home, and it's freezing. He starts to speak so fast that I don't understand anything, and I told him to slow down. He then tells me, rubber faces, they are chasing me, please help me. Of course, I think that the guy is just drunk as hell. But still something in the man's eyes tells me that he's really scared for his life, and it gives me the creeps. I can't see outside very well, it's still snowing heavily, and it's dark as anything, and we don't have street lights. I try to look from every window, but I can't see anything. I know a woman that is a very good friend of this poor guy and decide to try calling her. She answers and I tell her that I am sorry to call it at this time of night, but her friend is pretty messed up at a bar right now and could she come and pick him up? She tells me that she'll just grab her coat and come. It won't take long because she lives just next to the pub. The guy still keeps pacing front to back in the chair and mumbling about the rubber faces and how they will hunt him down when the woman comes to pick him up. She tells me that the guy has pretty strong medication and it's just probably that he's not taking his meds. She takes the guy to her place for the night since it's safer that way and it's a shorter way for her. I'm happy that it's over now. I've finished the paperwork and get ready to go home. I'm still thinking about this guy and the rubber faces, and it makes me pretty nervous because the apartments where the guy lives is nearby my house. I decide to take the bat and flashlight with me because it's still dark as hell. When I get to the road next to our pub, I'm watching my surroundings very closely because it's deep forest on both sides. Then it happens. I notice the footprints in the snow. My heart skips a beat and I panic. There are ones that lead to our pub and there are three distorted pairs of footprints that look like they have been following the first ones. Then I hear a loud sound of a branch snapping from the forest nearby and start to run like the wind. I haven't run so fast in a long time. This story still scares me. I still don't know what those footprints meant and what was lurking in the forest. But I know that everything wasn't right that night, and I'm happy that I've never met things that made the last three pairs of footprints.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
That's pretty scary. I wonder what the rubber faces were, you know? So it sounds a bit like people in masks dressed up hiding in the woods, do you think?
Yeah, maybe.
Rubber faces. Otherwise, I wonder what else it could have been described in that way. No? Maybe it was like people with melting faces. Who knows? But
yep.
Whatever it was, I don't want to run into it. Ever.
Yep.
What about you?
Me neither.
Are you ready for the third story?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so I don't really know how to start this story off, but it just happened like an hour ago, and I'm still spooked. So a bit of a preface. Me and my friend are home alone right now and have been for hours. Every time he comes over, we go to the woods by my house, and it's normally uneventful, with some throwing rocks and breaking trees and stuff. Harmless fun. But this time, something else happened. Like I said, we're home alone and have been for a while. And when this happened, we were obviously home alone. We went outside to go to the woods, and the trip there was uneventful. But once we got there, something was off. Everything was dark, tons of trees had been knocked down, and the entire place was not like I'd remember it being. We kept going in, still having our usual harmless fun, and at one point my friend turned to me and said we should go back. I looked at my phone and decided it had only been 30 minutes, and so we might as well stay longer, because it'll be a few hours until anyone would want us to be home. We continued on, finding a few strange things, like an old crushed Mountain Dew can, probably 10 to 20 years old, and a toy boat which had been completely destroyed by the wind and water and other things, and was probably even older than the can. Our plan was to go further than I'd ever been to the woods, which isn't very hard for us, because I've barely been that deep. After walking for a while, we came to a landmark that I knew of, that marked about the deepest I've ever been. A while ago, when I was going in, I came upon a bridge built on a log that fell over a river in the middle of the woods. However, one thing was different. There was something sitting on top of it. Whatever was on it was small and resembled the head of an animal. When we got closer and got a good view of it, it was a deer skull, pearly white and clean, sitting on the bridge with no clue as to who put it there and where the rest of it was. Behind the river, there was a huge hill with a creepy small house on it. And while we were looking around, I heard a creak or some other high-pitched noise from up towards it. Freaked out, we began to run. And from behind me, I hear my friend scream, and I hear him running behind me. We both keep running, and once we reach the edge of the woods, we step onto the road. I asked him why he was screaming, and he said he heard footsteps next to him. We quickly made our way home, and when we got there, the garage door was open. Not knowing if it was us that left it open or not, we ran inside, locking the door, checking the house, and turning the alarm on. Now we're sitting here. And by the time I finish this, it's nearly 2 hours since. And I still can't shake the fear of that eerie woods from me.
Ooh, well, that I've been chased before.
It's scary, isn't it? What happened to you?
Well, right, me and my mate was walking out of the path.
Mm-hmm.
And we kept walking and we turned around us. We realised that there's this man.
Yeah.
And he's like in a long green coat, and he had quite long hair, I think.
Yeah.
He was just walking behind us, so we thought really nothing of it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Until we got like out a bit of sight where he couldn't see us.
Yeah.
Because we were like younger, we was getting scared, innit? So we just ran. We jumped over that on the fence, and then we ran. And we jumped over another fence, and then we was walking, and then we see him come back up, like looking around, and he saw us, and he starts running towards us.
Right.
So I slid under a gate, I think.
Yeah.
And then me and my husband.
That's pretty creepy.
Yep.
Maybe he just dropped something. He probably was trying to give you it back. I know another time you were scared as well.
What?
When Maisie took you and George over the woods.
Mm.
This is another time, sorry, that you were chased, not scared, but you were scared as well. And you all came back thundering into the house. Oh! And what happened was you were up there nicking golf balls.
Yeah. Oh, I just remember that now. I actually remember that.
Yeah. And the golfers were chasing you to get their balls back. That'll learn ya. Right. Are you ready for the fourth story?
Yes, I am.
I guess I'll start with a bit of background. I'm a 33-year-old female, but this story takes place when I was a teenager, living in a suburb of Chicago. The village I lived in was quiet and middle class. We lived like a mile from the police station, and the worst crimes we had were a murder or two and robbery once in a blue moon. 99% of the time, boring and more boring. Unless you had a car, you were stuck just walking around the park at night with your friends. Even more boring. Anyway, one night, my girlfriend and I decided to go hang out at a park with some guys at like 12 a.m. The night was a bit windy and had a full moon. I even got a kiss that night from the boy I liked. But the night wasn't just fun and hanging out late. There's a deep forest in the park with a stream and a playground right next to it. There's two bridges, one of wood, the one that everyone uses, and one bridge made of rocks that's rarely used because it's deeper in the forest. I'll get to the rock bridge in a minute. We hung around on swings and chatted and just spent the evening together. I'm sitting and just looking around, talking and enjoying the peace and quiet and the moonlight. I have a full view of the forest and the dip of the earth that I know leads to the stream. I see something moving over that dip of earth, some dark shape. It looked like it was crawling out of the forest. An arm, then another arm. It pulls itself out of the ditch. A figure darker than the surrounding forest. And I'm sitting there, frozen. I think I'm seeing things. It just kind of lays there on the ground, but doesn't move. A flash of fear grips me. What if it comes this way? I look to my friends and no one notices anything. I look back again and it's gone. Did it go back or go somewhere? I really want to get out of there. Then one friend asks, "Did you guys hear about the urban legend of the rock bridge over the stream? Apparently, some kids or something played on the bridge and fell over and died." What a thing to say after what I saw. But I didn't ask anyone anything and just pretended I hadn't seen anything. But the experience stuck with me. I never talked about it because it must have been my imagination. Things like that happen only in scary movies, right? But I rarely went back to that park after that. Sounds like a creeper or something.
Yeah.
You know, like a crawler type thing. I'm going to have to do some more investigating and find out exactly what it is. It could also be like the children crawling out, you know, the dead children.
Yeah, probably.
Right. Are you ready for the fifth and final story?
Yes, I am.
This happened when I was 11 years old. I'm now 13 and still remember clear as day. I basically lived in the middle of nowhere, so I didn't have many friends. There was a huge forest, that's where I'd play. One day, I went to go and play in the forest. It was about 6:30, so it was kind of dark. Now let me mention, I lived in Wisconsin at the time. I went deep into the forest and everything was good until 7 rolled around. Now I was used to hearing weird noises in the woods, but nothing like this. I heard this awful scream, not human-like either. It was like a demon. It scared me. I was a curious little girl, so of course I went to investigate. I got about maybe half a mile in when I saw this non-human-like creature perched in a tree. Now instead of running for my life, I froze in shock and fear. And before I knew it, that thing, that awful smelly thing, was right behind me. I just wanted to scream for help. I didn't know what that creature could do to me, so I stood there like a rock, hoping it would just leave. It screamed again, but even worse than the first time, and I felt like I was going to go deaf. Eventually, after minutes of that thing staring at me, it flew, and I mean flew, up to its tree. I stood there looking at it for what felt like hours. Now I was going to whip out my phone and try to blind it with the flash so I could make a run for it. And that's what I did. Now did I mention I was a little chubby for my age, so I couldn't run so fast. And that sucked, because that creature jumped and ran after me through those woods. I felt the world spinning around me as I screamed for help. And that thing caught up with me eventually, and I felt like my life was over. I made a dash for the bushes, hoping to be able to hide in one, which I did. Now I waited for at least half an hour, thinking it was gone. So I dashed to the back door, hoping that thing wasn't behind me. Instead, it was perched on our air conditioner. I told my parents that very night, and they called me crazy. I know what I saw, and I'm never going in those woods again. Monsters are real. And I don't know what that creature was, but who knows what it would have done if it got its hands on me. Sounds like Batman.
Well, actually, I was thinking more about it like a Mothman type
that's
of thing.
What I was thinking,
I don't necessarily think it meant her harm, though. Because I just think, I know she hid, but I think it would have got her anyway. You know, because she was just stood there in shock. So I think, you know, it had the opportunity to pounce, didn't it, really?
Yeah.
Plenty. But maybe it was just like warning her off.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Yeah.
Or he, actually, because the story doesn't say.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Okay, well, that brings us to the end of this episode. I hope you liked it. And please tune in for next week.
Yeah, and also, if you can take the time to go and leave us a review or, you know, rate us wherever you listen to your podcasts, that would be exceptional. The reason that we ask you to do this is so that other people seeing it will be tempted to come and have a listen. So it helps us, and it helps us build the show, because we do want to start making the episodes a bit longer and include more things eventually. If you'd like to follow us on social media, on its Instagram is The Whispering Woods Podcast. Twitter, it's The Wisp Woods. Facebook, The Whispering Woods Scary Podcast. And I think that's about it. Obviously, you know, if you go to the Instagram or our website, which is thewhisperingwoodspodcast.com, we've got all the links on there anyway, so you can take a look, and we will put them in the show notes too. Okay, take care, everyone.
Goodbye.
The biggest names in tennis are coming to Paris for the most anticipated Roland Garros in years. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Experience 3 weeks of unparalleled tournament access as the world's top players in tennis face off against each other. Will the veteran champions continue their dominance, or will a fresh face emerge to challenge their legacy on the clay courts? Daily live coverage of this epic showdown begins Monday, May 20th. Don't miss a matchup. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.